When you need the independence to speak your mind, you take it on the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5 FM.
Good morning and welcome to It Does Not Define Me, Breast Cancer Warriors. During this segment and this feature, we will be having conversations with women who are redefining how they view society and how society views them. They are women who have battled with cancer. Some are still in the midst of their journey. But our current guest, that's Joan Villarelle, she is a cancer survivor. In 2002, in her mid-30s, with three children, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. At that time, she still was uncertain as to what the diagnosis meant. In fact, she felt a pain as she was breastfeeding and thought something wasn't right. The doctors at that time told her it was simply because she was breastfeeding. But her darkest fears came to reality when her diagnosis was then declared. From then till now, she has been cancer-free, but she's gone through a journey that she's hoping will inspire others. Joan, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now, you had a very interesting story, and we were talking about it before. You had a three-month-old baby at the time.
Yes.
And you started to experience pain in your breasts while breastfeeding.
Yes.
And you thought something was wrong. Tell me about what was happening before.
Well, I thought was a normal pain. It ended up that it was extremely painful. It continued for a while. So I said, something have to be wrong. This cannot be normal. And I decided to go for tests by my private doctor. And when I did, he said that it was breast cancer.
At any point, did you think it could have been breast cancer?
Well, actually, because of the extreme pain, I thought it was different. It was different. It may not have been that, but I said it's a possibility that it could have been that.
Was there ever any history of breast cancer in your family prior to your diagnosis?
No.
You told me that you were telling your mother that something didn't feel right.
Something didn't feel right.
What did you tell her?
I said, Mommy, this pain is different because I never used to get like menstrual pain, but this pain was continual, it was consistent. So I said, something is wrong, something is different.
When you got the diagnosis, what do you remember that day? Tell me about how the doctor had the conversation with you, because you're a mother to three young children. You just had a three-month-old.
Yes.
Yeah. With two children, right?
Yes. Well, what happened, I went to work that day, and I told the, there was a sharp pain that I got in my breast. And I told the boss man at the time, I said, I couldn't go, I'm not going to work. I'm in work, my work is the journey towards the customers, which is as a post lady. So I told him I can't go outside there. I have to go to the doctor because this pain was different. And I did proceed to the doctor at that time. And he said that I need to come back for go and get a mammogram. And when I did, this is when the week after he told me that it was breast cancer.
Were you alone when you got that diagnosis?
Yes.
Who did you tell after that? Who in your family did you immediately share that?
I shared it with my mom. And that time, a sister.
And how did they respond to it? Did they understand the gravity of what you were diagnosed with?
Well, because I usually would mention whenever I do get pain, and my brother-in-law at the time, he would actually used to tell me, why don't I come up to the States and see about it? And I told him, I would one day, and when I called him, and I told him that I have breast cancer, and he said, you need to come up to see about yourself. You need to come up. And I did. But prior to that, when I went to the doctor gave me option.
Mm-hmm. What did he tell you?
He said, you could do two things. You could do the surgery privately, or you need to go to the hospital, the general hospital. And I told him that I would not be able to connect. I cannot afford private, so I need to go to the hospital. He gave me a letter that recommended me to the hospital, and I did go to the hospital at that time. When I did, the doctor, surprisingly, they did a test on me at the same time. And when they did, they told me, you have breast cancer. So I gave them a look like, the private doctor mentioned it before. He said, is this the first or the second time you're hearing about it? I said, yes. He said, okay, sorry for telling you that way. And then he told me that he would recommend me to come and do it privately. Mm-hmm. I went to the hospital, he gave me a date. And it was not no long period. They told me to come next week, which was the following week. And I took him on the Tuesday of that, the following week, to come to the hospital to do surgery. And because my brother-in-law was so consistent, he was consistent in telling me, come to America to do it. I spoke to my brother-in-law, and I told him, I got a date to the hospital. He said, no, come. I will set a date here for you to do it up here if you have to do surgery to see about yourself. And actually, at that time, they had a friend who used to work at the hospital in Pennsylvania, and they mentioned it to her, and when they did, she also recommended that I come. So what I did, I told him that I went back to the doctor and told him that I will be doing no surgery in Trinidad. So I told him that I was recommended to go to come to the States. And he told me, well, that is a better option. I think that's a better option. He gave me a letter. And he only gave me the letter. That is all that I had to present it to the doctors when I go there. And I did went to America. And
where were your children at the time? You had very young children.
Yes. They were home with my husband.
How did your husband respond? I mean, when you came back and you said to him, I have to go, I've been diagnosed with breast cancer, did he understand what that meant, understand that he has to now take on the responsibility of mother and father while you tend to your health?
Yes, he did take on that responsibility, because I told him it would not have been easy for him because he was working at the time, and he did put himself wholeheartedly into that arrangement, because I really had to go. I really had to go at the time.
How long were you gone for?
6 months.
Six months from the time of diagnosis. Tell me about the preparation to go away, the changes in your family, and also getting prepared for the surgery.
Well, when I did go to America, the problem was to get into these guys. The problem was to get into the system. Mm-hmm. Now, to get into the system in America actually is like health first, and you can pay later.
Right.
You don't have to go to the cash and say, this is what it is, pay first. So what I did, when I went down to the hospital, I did a mammogram. Mm-hmm. And the doctor, several mammograms at that time too, because when they put me into the room to do the mammogram, they did it over and over and over again, about 3 to 4 times. And the doctor came and he told me, this is where, he showed me the picture, the x-ray. He said, this is where the cancer is. This is where it is. This is where it is. So he told me that what I need to do I need, they will want me. But the question on regards before that, that is when I realized I had to stay longer. I didn't realize this was such a long.
You thought you were going what, for a month, 2 weeks?
Just for about 2 weeks or so. But when he told me that I had to stay, I broke down.
Why did you break down? Were you just the time away from your children or understanding?
Understanding the time that I had to spend away from them, and I didn't know it was so. That's when it really hit me that it would have been a serious matter, because, and I broke down for like hours upon hours. I couldn't stop crying.
Did you lose faith? Did you wonder that there's a possibility I may not survive and go back home to my children?
That too, because it's something, it's to grasp that whole situation. Although, you know, I went there knowing about it. But the period of time, it didn't, reality hit me that I really had to stay that long. It was like so long.
When you told your husband that I have to stay here, I have to do surgery, I have to get treatment, and this may go anyway, what did he say to you?
Well, he was in support of it because it was my health. So he really say, well, if I had to do it, I have to do it. So I was there already, and I came to see about myself, so I had to do it,
study
procedure and do it.
Did the doctors tell you that there's a chance you may not return home, that this could go anyway?
Well, surprisingly enough, when they warded me, about four doctors came up to the room and they spoke with me. They asked me my history, where I'm from. How I came to have the cancer, and that they was asking me if I ever knew that I had cancer before. Well, I told them I used to go to the doctor so many times here. I did so many mammograms, and actually the mammogram here wasn't showing up the cancer. I did it, so it because of going back so many times to different doctor, my doctor finally said that, told me that. I told them about what happened to me along the way in diagnosing the cancer. And they listened, and they said that I told them, actually one of the doctors I remember is Dr. Inchan Patti. He was very, very personal with me, in that he told me, one of the things that he told me at the time is that I have never done this before.
Mm. He's never done what before?
He was going to announce to me, what he told me is that I've never done this before, but I'm going to do your surgery free.
Well, you got a blessing.
I got a blessing at that time.
Did you feel a sense of hope at that point? Because obviously you know that the bill could have been at anything. You said you couldn't afford it here.
Yes. Well, the bill didn't stop coming, because they would, when I went back home to the apartment, the bill would come. Mm-hmm. But at the last point, which is about the last monthly period of time, because during that period when I stayed there, even we have to pay for the hospital room,
the
surgery, everything. So the bill there was coming, but after a period of time, they called on the phone too. Mm-hmm. They told me about the bill, and I told them, and actually I was a visitor there, mm-hmm. and that's all. I was a visitor there, and I came and I was diagnosed as having the cancer there. And They said, okay. And that was it. Okay. No prolong in the bill period that you have to pay.
Yeah.
They just said, okay, because, of course, in America, they have funding for cancer. That was a cancer hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have known, well, this is a bill that they would have been funded from their own.
Okay. Well, we have to take a very short break. When we come back, we'll continue with Joan's story. She decided, and by a stroke of luck, got a medical bill erased in the U.S., but at this time, leaving two young children in Trinidad. Stay with us. It does not define me. Stories of breast cancer survivors and warriors. Joan is continuing her conversation. So Joan, you're preparing for the surgery. Tell me a little bit about the surgery.
Well, when I was preparing for the surgery, the same way I'm looking here now. This is how I look when I was preparing for the surgery, but it was not like a wasn't too sad, because mentally I can put myself in a position after the crying and everything that this is what I'm here for, so it have to be done. Mm-hmm. So I had a family member there. She was very supportive. She came. We were in the room. I tell her a lot of jokes. So we were there jolly, and it was like, I remember it was like a Tuesday. So we were there in the room discussing, talking about a lot of stuff. And the doctors, finally they came in at the period of time and said that they would come and tell you next hour, next 2 hours, and they would take you down to the emergency room and whatever, to take to the operation room.
Your husband was still in Trinidad?
He was still in Trinidad.
Did your children know that you were going to surgery and all of that? Well, I know one of your sons was very young, right?
Yes, they were very young. But they knew. But he after a while, he brought them up, the two of them.
When did they come up after your surgery?
Yes, they came up after. And they stayed about two weeks period. So they came and they looked for me. I had my sister-in-law there at the time, my brother-in-law and them at the time. So they would come and look for me in the hospital. And it was very successful, of course. So it was not too much a sad situation, but it was a sad, but then a happy situation at the time.
Tell me about the chemotherapy that you had to go through, because after the surgery, you had a successful surgery. You come out of the surgery. What was that chemotherapy period like for you?
Well, the chemotherapy is one that I wouldn't recommend. Well, it is recommended, but it is so painful up there after the surgery, I went to King County Hospital. That is where I did the chemo. And the chemo there is different to here. When you do chemo in America, it will be like they will put you in a chair. And when they insert the chemo into your system, into your blood, well, to me, I used to get like blind.
Mm-hmm.
I would say blind, because after the surgery, I couldn't see. And I would like, they said, sit down and relax. I just couldn't see.
And this is after your chemo?
After the chemo.
How long did your chemo last?
Well, the chemo would be like, for the whole period, mm-hmm. they were like, I had to do 11 sessions of chemo. But I did chemo there, and I did some there, and I did some here.
And so you could compare it as to how different it was.
How different it was.
How did you respond to the chemo? You say that you felt as though sometimes you couldn't see.
I couldn't see. And I had to travel after, because my brother-in-law, they had to work. So I had to find my way onto the bus. But it wasn't easy because it was like I couldn't see and I was feeling weak. So I had to relax in the hospital maybe for an hour and a half after. And before I could venture outside, because you kind of get disoriented, and then you're feeling sick. And then I said, well, I need to lie down. So after that, during that period, when I catch myself, and so to speak, and I venture outside, it was like a slow motion because, you know, you had to reach home and then you had to go and get the bus to travel back to the apartment. So it was not easy.
Were you alone when you had to do those things?
Alone.
What kept you going? You know, I'm sure because you're weak, you're going through this treatment, you're in a foreign country. What kept you going?
Well, knowing that you have no other choice. You have no other choice. You had to go.
Did you ever feel broken or alone or angry in all of this?
No, just sick.
Yeah.
At that period of time, it's not like you're angry for what? At least you're getting better. I would be better after a few sessions, but it's just the sickness. When you reach home, at one time, the security guard downstairs, because I think I used to live on the 12th floor, he asked me, he said, what happened? I said, I'm not feeling well. He said, I'm going to help you to the apartment. He said, yes. I told him what apartment I was in. I went in the elevator and he carried me upstairs. And I was just there so weak because it does take a control over your whole body, mm-hmm. because you want to vomit. You're not well, you're just weak. Your body, you're not in control of your system.
But you knew that you were getting better. You didn't feel as you're getting worse.
Well, I wanted to get better. I knew it is just a period of time. That would be just for a period of time. And when I say a period, well, when you go home, you'll be very sick, mm-hmm. very, very sick. Or during the night, you'll be sick. And then, of course, that sickness will die. It will stop, and then you know, it's after the following week, you still have to go back for chemo. So this is, you'll have to go through that period, that for the chemo over again. So that sickness will be the same.
What was the journey like coming home? Because you obviously did not finish the chemo up there. You came home to finish the chemo.
Yes.
Was it being in a weakened state? What was it like coming home?
Well, coming home, you would be. It would be like, how the chemo would be here. Mm-hmm. That is another journey. Because when you attend to the hospital in St. James, the Cancer Society Hospital in St. James, well, they will they will ask you a lot of questions. When you take the chemo, they give you a day to come back. They will take your symptoms, your diagnosis, see how the body is with as regards to your iron, your whole system. They take a blood test, and then they will tell you when to come. Now the chemo there is different, but I never used to get blind. Like how I used to feel blind. It used to be like when you give it the injection, it will feel, there's a heat that you feel. Should I mention that? There's a heat that you will feel into the blood when it go into your vein, and that chemo will run straight into your blood like a heat, mm-hmm. so the hot thing, and then it will go at least a feel it inside my brain. It will go around into this brain. And then I'll feel it coming back down into the vein.
Did your children know what you're going through? Because when people go through with chemo, you lose your hair, you lose a lot of weight. Did they look at you and know what was going?
Yeah, well, at that time, I would hope that they would have understood what was going on, because you would have seen the sadness on their face, especially when you say, when you tell them you have to go for chemo, and then when you come back, you'll feel very, I feel very sick, because you have to be in bed for a long period before your body catch yourself again, so they will know. And so you can't do things normal as a mother. They will have to, they'll be looking at you, asking you, they can't, the father will say, make a rest. So it will be like they know something is wrong. Mm-hmm. Because children feel the pain just like, because you're not as lively or up and above, as we would say it here, to help them.
Did you share your story? I mean, obviously when you came back home, you would have physically been looking different. Did a lot of people know what was happening with you?
Well, yes, it would have been missed for a period, whoever you used to associate with. Mm-hmm. And they would, of course, ask you. They would, of course, you, how you're feeling, because they would have been asking him, how is your wife? And when they see you, they would say, like, you're looking much better, you're looking good, how you're feeling? So they would always ask you question pertaining to your sickness.
Did you ever see it as a shame to say that I'm fighting cancer? Did you felt a sense of shame?
Never.
So you were very open with telling your story.
Yes.
Why did you want to be open? Because a lot of women sometimes keep their diagnosis to themselves.
I guess that is me. If I want to say however I'm feeling, I wouldn't hide in it. I don't think it's something that is in me. Mm. I would always say what happened to me. And of course, my husband would have been, because I was missed, people would have known. So I don't think it would have made sense then to say, hi there. They say, how are you feeling today? How is the chemo? They would ask for you. They would have been asking for your family members, would have been asking. They would have been asking.
Did you have a lot of support from your family? I mean, you talk about your husband taking on the brunt of the responsibility when you had to go away.
Yes.
But in terms, a lot of times, some of the other interviews, they spoke about the fact that they were so weak that they needed to get a lot of help. Did you have a lot of help, or was it just you and your husband?
Me and my husband. Because you can't vent out it too much when you're sick. You have to stay indoors because the sickness is not right here. To feel weak.
How was the radiation part of it?
Well, the radiation for me was quite easy. Mm-hmm. Because when I never got sick during the radiation period, because the radiation is like this. They were putting in the machine. They would mark where they have to fight the cancer, because the radiation is a fight of the rest of the cancer cell. They will mark you, and they will put in there for about maybe 20 or 15 minutes. And I never got sick.
You were in your mid-30s. Obviously, with a breast cancer diagnosis, you have the surgery, you have the mammogram. There are a lot of bodily changes taking place. Did you ever look at yourself, and it took a while for you to recognize yourself and accept your new self?
No. Once that period of sickness was, I went through that period, it's like me again.
You bounced back very quickly.
Bounced back very, and people were surprised too.
Yeah.
How come I was so lively and so? I said, well, sickness is finished. You're studying it for again. I'm not lying down ill in bed again. I'm not feeling sick. Once I start to feel better. There's a difference between not well and feeling good and alive. So once I felt better, I was like up and about doing everything normal.
Where do you think you got that resilience from to say, you know what, I am not going to be sick for this entire diagnosis. I'm going to jump out. And you know what, once the chemo is over, I'll bounce back.
You bounce back because you're not... When you look in the hospital, when you go to the hospital, I just always say that. When you go to the hospital, it's not a nice place to be. And you go there only when you're sick. Then when God look at people and they say they're sick, and I've been there so many times because of the same chemo or the same cancer, because of weakness of blood and not being able to walk properly and move around. When you get better, when the body cells and the body cells and them say, okay, we are striving, we are getting better, we up and about now. Why go down? Why look sick? The body cells talk to you and say, okay, you're good to go now. Let's go. You just bounce back.
It just bounce back. So when we come back with Joan, we're going to find out about her bounce back journey and how her life has changed. She is currently in her 50s, but in her mid-30s with two young children, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Since then, a number of members of her family have also come to terms with similar diagnosis in several different ways. So we'll find out a little bit about that. It does not define me. Breast cancer warriors. 106.5 continues to highlight the stories of women who have walked the walk, they have walked through fire, and they're now redefining their lives. They're proud to wear the badge Warrior and Survivor. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we are continuing with our campaign. Joan has been sharing a story, that's in her mid-30s, a mother of two young children, but she said, you know what? I had to survive. I had no other choice. And in her terms, I'm going to bounce back. How has your life changed since being declared cancer-free? Is it a constant cloud over your head? Will this come back?
It's something that I've thought about, because I've heard of it, that the occurrence of the breast cancer coming back in other persons, or I've even known. So it's there where I think about it a lot, because there is always, in my case, sometimes I will feel certain pain in the other breast.
Does it worry you?
It does, because sometimes what it depends on, sometimes when you eat certain food, I would feel a commotion in the next breast.
How has your life changed now that you live as a cancer survivor?
Well, as a person, as an individual now, I do constantly tell women about what they need to eat, sometimes drink. For now I drink a lot of the green foods, or sometimes I always make women conscious that they need to drink a lot of soursop leaf. They said that will help, the soursop leaf, the guava leaf, the soursop in themselves. So I'm always picking soursop leaf, always asking for it, always drinking it, because I understand that it helps a lot of women. So I'm always talking about it, even on my job. We always have a discussion on that.
In terms of your family, did they change the way they eat after you came back home, and obviously even now?
Well, when situation is, we just say, hot, everyone be conscious of it. And now for me, it's like I'm conscious of it a lot, but it has been on the mind of my family a lot.
You told me a lot of other members, when you were first diagnosed, it was not really that prevalent. But since then, a number of other members of your family have been diagnosed. Tell me about that, and how are you lending support to them?
Well, my aunt, a year ago, she had been diagnosed with cancer, but she has passed away. She passed away. My sister has brain cancer. She had two surgeries in Canada, and I have told her about the soursop leaf and stuff, but she, I don't know how prevalent, how often she uses it, but she has surgery, brain cancer, and she has it. But she right now she's up and about. But at the period of time when she was going through her situation, it was not easy on her part because she said she had a lot of headaches in her head, and she still get it, but not as prevalent. But she has had, like, last 2 years or three, she has had the brain cancer, a second surgery.
Are you seeing it more? You know, you tell me about how you use the opportunity to talk a lot to the women around you about changing their diet and what they do. Are you seeing more and more women now becoming battling a diagnosis of breast cancer?
Yes, not only breast cancer, but other parts of the body. I have two or three friends, even in my work, where I work, they have cancer. One have it in their breast, they have it in their leg, they have it in their foot. So it's not just breast cancer, it's all over.
Now, you know, you say that you still constantly think about if this were to mm-hmm. come back. Do you remember the day that you were declared cancer-free when they said, Joan, the cancer's gone?
Well, I always would say that one of the things I would not want to get back is the cancer because of the chemo. The chemo is was the only frightening thing because it has have you so sick. So I always am afraid of that. It's a fear.
A lot of times in some relationships, you talk about the fact that your husband was your biggest supporter and the one that took on a lot of the burdens when you were sick. Did it get you closer, or was there any resentment from him about acting in this role?
Well, he was very, at that time, he was very consciously always reminding me of the medication that I have to take. Because of the cancer, my blood count used to drop a lot. My blood count was like 4. So I had very low blood count. And at that time I used to take a lot of injections for the blood count. So sometimes I would even skip.
But did he ever feel angry at you? Did he ever feel it was too much for him?
No, he was always 100% supporter of it. Always, because he used to, at that time, attend the hospital with me at all times, and down here. Once I had to go, he used to go with me at all times. He used to stand in the room with me too.
You talk about, you know, just you bounce back. You use that term. What do you want to say to other women who are battling with this and they, you know, because everyone is different. Not everybody may be as strong as you. What do you want to say to them?
As women, we have to keep going. We have to keep going because it's important. They have to keep strong. They have to think of ways, whatever medication they will be getting to help the cancer. We have to tell yourself you will come back because sickness is just for a while. On some of us, some of our bodies are weaker than the others, but once you're sick, it's just for a while, and think about how you would be after that period, and what you could do to the experience of it will also help you to tell others about it. So you always have to be thinking about what you can do to help others, because it's an experience by itself.
Your children are a lot older now. When they think about this time, do they remember it? Do they understand what was going on in their lives, that they could have possibly lost their mother?
Well, they don't talk about it much. They would see me, yes, but they know, but they don't really talk about the period of time. Because what I find with my children is that if I tell them I'm not feeling well, they would say, Mommy, what happened? You know, Mommy, you okay? If I say I'm not feeling well, they will always quick to ask you, you okay? Can I, because just not too long ago, I wasn't feeling well. And my son said, you want to go to the doctor now? And that was late in the night. Mm-hmm. And I tell the lady, we always in the morning. He say, what you want to do? You want to go to the doctor now? So they always maybe it will be in the back of their head to get me better.
You are a warrior. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know, we talk about the women. You said to them, sickness is not forever. To all of the young women out there, if you had to do anything differently, what do you want to say to them?
Well, cancer is something that you don't, you wouldn't know about unless it's on you. But for young women, constantly check yourself if you're getting any pain that is abnormal, not usual. Check yourself, check the doctor, don't say it's gas. It's not always gas. It could be something as more serious, especially when you're getting it consistent. You're finding again the same spot, you're getting the pain regular. Go to the doctor, take a checkup, take a blood test, see what's wrong, what's going on. And only in that way, you will know exactly what's going on with you. So don't take it for granted.
Well, Joan, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being resilient. This is another feature, part of the overall series, It Does Not Define Me, Breast Cancer Warriors, as part of the Breast Cancer Awareness Campaign that Freedom 106.5 is currently having. And I want to encourage all of the women out there to get tested, to do your self-examinations. If you think something is wrong with your body, remember your intuition, your inclination. You know your body best. And let's use this opportunity to be our sister's keeper. See these stories. All of these women are true warriors. They've used their circumstances to become a better version of themselves. So if you are possibly facing a diagnosis that may look a little gloomy, know that there truly is a light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you again for joining us.
When you need the independence to speak your mind, you take it on the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5 FM.